It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Today marks the 50th anniversary of an uprising against Chinese rule in Tibet. That revolt led Tibet's spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, into exile in India. Still in exile today, he told supporters that Tibetan culture is on the verge of extinction. We're going to turn this morning to a man who's been allowed to visit or live in Tibet several times in recent years. Robert Barnett last stayed there in 2007, and he remains in touch with Tibetans by email or text message. Or at least he did, until this week when text messaging was shut down for maintenance. He says generations of Tibetans have told the story of the Dalai Lama's flight from Chinese troops.
The Dalai Lama was a kind of prisoner in a gilded cage in his palace with the Chinese at their military camp a few miles away, and that they invited the Dalai Lama to come to a theatre performance, but that he was told not to bring any bodyguards or attendants with him. And it was that addition to the message that is said to have triggered a mass response from tens of thousands of Tibetans who thought that this must be a plot to kidnap the Dalai Lama. And then an uprising began. The Chinese shelled the palace. They did open fire on the people in the city, and then the Dalai Lama was in some danger and fled.
Do you see this conflict between Tibet and China, or Tibetans and China, moving in any direction, any closer to resolution than it has been for the last 50 years?
It is extraordinary that the Chinese still have failed to win the hearts and minds of Tibetans, and they failed to win them in really spectacularly troubling ways. Their decision 15 years ago to ban the worship of the Dalai Lama and to ban all students in Tibet from any religious practice at all, and to refuse to regulate migration of non-Tibetans into the area, these are ways to lose any friends you might have. But nevertheless, we do have a situation where China has said it's ready to talk to the Dalai Lama. That's some kind of progress. The problem is that the leaders we have in China at the moment don't seem able to really sit down at a table with this man.
You know, Mr. Barnett, I'm remembering it was almost a year ago that we spoke with Lodi Gyari, who's an envoy from the Dalai Lama, and he was talking before the Beijing Olympics, and he said Tibetans are determined not to do anything to disrupt the Olympics. They think that would be counterproductive, and the Dalai Lama has called for calm. As I recall, there was calm. Have Tibetans gained anything for being quiet in that summer of 2008?
Well, we should say that the Chinese don't see it like this at all. We're really somewhat in the hands of the media here. I don't mean you people, but I mean the way politicians use images has become a major player in this issue. And what happened a year ago, there was this very ugly demonstration in Lhasa that turned into a riot in which about 18 people were killed, most of them Chinese. What happened was that the Chinese state decided for the first time to use television footage of a few minutes of that, of a Tibetan with a knife chasing some Chinese guy down the street in Lhasa. Probably not very typical of the entire protest, but those few minutes of television footage really soured the atmosphere within China and to some extent around the world. They made it look to Chinese people like this is a vicious group of people who hate us, the Chinese.
Do you see Tibetans feeling optimistic about the way things are going?
Well, there are Tibetans who think that this kind of conflict is good because it does make Chinese people leave the Tibetan areas and it does make Chinese people take the issue seriously. It means that we move away from the kind of fluffy Western view of those nice, cuddly Tibetans, mystical culture and so on, and we move away from the Chinese view that it's just a few malcontents who want more funding or something. We move to the view that this is really a political issue that China has to think about seriously. So that's the plus side. It's just that these things really need to change before the Dalai Lama dies.
And why do these things have to change before the Dalai Lama dies?
Well, because in this kind of communist system, lots of systems, one of the things you do is you repress natural leadership. And the Tibetans you promote are usually not people who have any respect from the community. There's a very interesting Lama in India now who fled from Tibet in 2000, the Karmapa, who is emerging as a potential figure that could carry significance for all the Tibetan community. But the Dalai Lama is the only one really who has that sort of stature at the moment.
Robert Barnett is a professor at Columbia University who has traveled, lived, and taught in Tibet as often as China will let him. Thank you very much.
Thank you.